our divine identity in the anointed Redeemer. Thank you, Father. Well, in just a few moments, the ushers will be putting notes in your hands, and we'll be leaping into today's message. I have a certain amount of difficulty with individuals who continue to use an ungodly term. For the born-again child of God, there is no such thing as Easter. And I understand I'm not saying that because my studies have taught me where Easter eggs originated. I'm not saying that because my studies have taught me that Easter is a transliteration of the word Ishtar, which means the mother of Nimrod, and that there was a story of resurrection before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The original Madonna, mother and baby, was of Ishtar and Nimrod, not of Mary and Jesus. If you look at the oldest paintings, there was a teaching already going on in pagan society about resurrection and Nimrod, and it was celebrated on Ishtar. And the church, trying to get more pagans to come to church, combined Resurrection Sunday with Ishtar, and Easter became a word that people used. So I want to tell you, it is not Easter, it never has been Easter, and in my book, Brother Friday, it never will be Easter. It's Resurrection Sunday, and every time you say Easter, you're failing to represent our Lord.
Well, come on.
Because our Lord was resurrected from the dead, and this celebration day is not about Nimrod and his mama. It's about the risen Lord who conquered death, hell, and the grave for us.
Yes.
And is raised again. So if I roll my eyes or look with disdain when you use the term Easter, it's just because I don't want to see and hear those words in your mouth. It's Resurrection Sunday.
Yes.
And we are celebrating the resurrection of our Lord.
Amen.
Now, if you want to get a Easter bonnet, an Easter frock, and all that stuff, have at it. Just rename it. This is my new life clothes. This is my resurrection bonnet. This is my raised from the dead 5-inch heels. If you're a lady, if you're a guy, I'll slap you. Wake up. Brother Richard, could I borrow you and Brother John for just a moment? Brother Richard, I want you to go to that side and grab this like this. Yeah, like that. Brother John, I want you to grab this way. Now then, the subtitle of today's message is He Nailed It. Now, in a moment, I'm going to give some of you an opportunity to achieve a new level of victory in your life. I've got some things that we're going to nail to the cross today. Some of you have seen the video of the schoolgirl cheerleader who walks to the center of a basketball court. She sets the ball on the center line on the basketball court. Then she backs up, does a flip, grabs the ball coming out of the flip, and throws it into the basket from center court. And you'll hear people go, "She nailed it!" From today on, I want you to leave this place. Pastor, why'd you have them come hold the cross? Does God need support? No, but this is my construction, and it's not that good. So if we'd have had Brother Steve do it, it would be anchored in concrete and put together with, you know, rivets and nails. But today, I'm going to give people an opportunity. He told me this thing works. It does. You just got to point it the right direction. Now, in a moment, when I get to this point in the message that you're all looking forward to, I can hear your bated breath. I'm going to give people an opportunity, thank you, brothers, to come. When they come, I want y'all to assume the position so nobody beats the cross down. But some of you today need to identify with your release. And you're going to come and you're going to nail some things to the cross. Because our God has already nailed it for you. But some of you are going to come and you're going to come and get this card and you're going to nail sickness to the cross so it never rules over you again. Someone's going to come and they're going to take the sign disease and they're going to nail it to the cross and it's never going to haunt them anymore. Someone needs to nail grief to the cross so that grief no longer rules in their life. Someone needs to nail sorrow to the cross. You can come and you can put it up there, you can put it down here, you can put it over here, just don't put it over one of the others. You're going to do it. Some of you, the devil has lied to and told you that you don't have a relationship with God. But I want you to know that your Father nailed lost relationship to the cross and tore down the wall of separation, and you now have restored relationship, and you're not going to let the devil defeat you anymore by going, well, you just ain't got it going on. From this day forward, you're going to have it going on. Yeah. Someone needs to come and nail judgment because people have come against you and the devil has come against you and told you that there's something in your life that's not forgiven, that's not covered, that's not there. I want you to know you're there by divine decree. And you need to come and grab that sign and nail it to the cross. Some people continually have guilt coming back about something that happened in their life that seems to get under the blood, but then it bobs back to the top like a cork. And the devil beats you over the head with guilt and says, it ain't done yet. You're not fully clean of that. Today, when you nail this to the cross, you're going to know you're free from guilt because God nailed it for you, and now you've joined Him in nailing it to the cross. Someone needs to come because peace has not been ruling and reigning in your life. Paul wrote and said, I want the peace of God to rule in your heart through what the blood of the Lamb did. Someone's going to come, and they're going to nail this to the cross today because peace from this day forward is going to reign in their life. Amen. I don't want y'all fighting over this one, but somebody needs to come and nail this to the cross because the Word of God said He became poor that you might become rich. And if lack has been dogging your life and you need to be free of lack, you need to nail it to the cross. Somebody needs to nail this one to the cross. Well, Pastor, we already had one that's similar to that. No, this is not lost relationship. This is separation. You've been separated from the joy of the Lord. You've been separated from healing. Whatever you've been separated from that the Word of God says is yours, and you have not yet been able to achieve that place of no longer being separated from it. Whatever it is God promised. It may be a ministry calling that God promised you, and somehow you've been separated from it. Anything that has separated you from the blessings of the Lord, you need to nail it to the cross today. Oppression. The devil brings this to people. You go well for a while and then something happens and you feel like you're filling one of the slots in Little Abner cartoon. That cloud is over your head. No matter what it's doing anyplace else, it's raining on you. You need to come and nail this to the cross and be free once and for all from oppression. I will put these over here, and you can come at that point of the message when I call. Don't delay. Don't wait. Run up and grab your sign. Well, what if I run up and somebody's already got that sign? Then help them nail it to the cross. Resurrection celebration. The cross is no longer occupied by a Redeemer. Now, if you, in a previous area of your life, got one of the little crucifixes that still has the symbol of our Lord on the cross, I've got hope for you. Right now, gold and silver are going at a good price. And you can go sell it and have it melted down, because it's an abomination before God to wear that stuff. Well, Pastor, I've got one, and my sainted grandmother gave it to me. Well, God bless her soul. Don't wear it. It's an affront to the kingdom to walk around with Jesus still on the cross. The cross is empty, and that's a testimony to the world. The cross is empty. He is risen. He's not still the suffering Lord. He's not still on the cross. So make some money. Go sell that. Get a few dollars for whatever the value of the gold or silver is, and then get you an empty one. Don't go home and try and pry them off. It'll leave it ugly. The cross was ground zero, where two kingdoms were to collide, and only one would come from that collision triumphant, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, sin, sickness, and separation from God. The kingdom of darkness made its play against God the Father and the kingdom of light. But understand this, if you won't stand for defeat, but you will stand for victory, darkness is always defeated by light. Darkness was led into a trap. 1 Corinthians 2:7, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. Church, the New Testament was not read for everybody to understand. It was read for those who have made Yeshua, HaMashiach, Lord of their life to understand. That's why a lot of people read the Bible and they go, I don't get it. I don't understand it. The New Covenant was written in mysteries that only the presence of God. You go to Richard and Michelle's house or Roger and Nancy's house, and you're walking around and you'll ask about something. It won't happen everything you ask about, but there'll be a vase, there'll be a picture, there'll be something, and you'll ask, what is this about? And you'll see them look over at each other, little smile, because they know what's behind. I want every one of you to read your new covenant and get that little inside smile. Because the spirit of truth within you tells you what that's about. And because you know, you smile knowing the devil will never get this. Unbelievers will never understand this. But I know, because my Redeemer lives and I've received his resurrection life, I understand this. I know what this means, because it's alive within me. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. Pastor, what is this talking about? Everything you'll ever want, everything you'll ever need, everything you'll ever accomplish was already settled in God's economy before God made Adam. When you get to the end of the book, and I said this Wednesday night a week or two ago, the Bible is written where that Genesis and Revelation are actually bookends. And you have to read Revelation to understand some of the things that happened in Genesis. And Genesis sets up things that will happen in the end. And as I've been writing on the life of Joseph, I've begun to notice some of the things that occurred in Egypt and the plagues. You start comparing the plagues there to what occurs in Revelation, and you go, whoa. What comes around, comes around. But Revelation, when you get there, it tells you that Yeshua, our Messiah, our Redeemer, was the Lamb slain before God created the earth. Why? Because before Judith would need a Savior, God saw to it that a Savior was in play. Before Barry needed a provider, God saw to it that a provider was in play. Before Roger needed a healer, God saw to it a healer was in play. Are you listening? Before peace was needed, Ethel, God put peace in play in the person of our Redeemer. And Paul said, all of this wisdom has been available all this time, but only a regenerate mind can conceive it. Only a born-again spirit can receive it. Only a child of the King can know the King's business. Now, get this. We speak God's wisdom in a mystery. A wisdom and mystery that was hidden in God for what? Now, those of you who are serious students of the Bible, I trust you've already gotten this. If you've been a part of House of the Lord, you already know this. But at this point, I want you to get this. When he said it was written for our glory, what he is saying, Phoebe, is this. These mysteries have been written down so you can receive God's presence. Are you listening, church? Sean, every challenge you face in your walk with God, God says there's something written down in one of my mysteries and one of my promises that will ensure my presence manifests in your life in that thing.
Amen.
You see, the word glory means God's manifest presence.
Amen.
Now, we think glory is a word that we use in songs. We give him the glory. The glory came down. What that means is, when you give him the glory, do you know what it means to give God the glory? Glory is not, I got a box full of here. Here, God, here's some glory. No, glory means you give God presence in your life. To give God glory is to give him audience. To open yourself bare to him. Because in the Word of God, when the glory came down, that was God's presence coming into a situation. Somehow people have become religious, and glory is some intangible object that we give to God when we say glory. No, 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 no. You can't give God glory as an object that you present to him, but you can open yourself to his presence, and glory means God's manifest presence. Jesus said, I don't like being down here in the earth. Restore to me the glory that I had before the world began. When I was hanging out in your presence, that's what I want for eternity. And that's what he's prepared for us. Ruth, we get to hang out in his presence for eternity. God put wisdom in play before creation to ensure us who believe and receive a place in his presence. Now, that place in his presence might be when you need healing, when you need a word from the Lord, when you need a blessing, when you need prosperity, when you need something from God. In his presence, there is fullness of joy, because the blessings of the Lord make rich and add no sorrow with it. And to add no sorrow with it means the devil wants to lie to you. Yeah, you got that raise, but you're going to lose it. No, no. Any gift you get from God can't be lost,
amen,
including your salvation.
That's good.
Because when he gives it to you, he makes you abound with it, and he says he'll add no sorrow with it, meaning he'll never take it back, and it can't be taken from you. You have to surrender it or give it away. Oh, church, can we meditate here for a moment? As the psalmist says, meditate on it. You know that word. What's the word? Selah. It means pause for a minute and think about this. When you're reading the Psalms and you get down to the bottom, it says, Selah, that's not amen. That's pause. Check this out. Hang out here for a minute and go, yeah. Get this. The blessings of the Lord make rich and add no sorrow. Anytime you open yourself to God's manifest presence, to his glory, what you receive in that moment cannot be stolen from you. God will not take it back. You have to lay it down or give it up. And I ain't giving up none of my blessings. Hun, I'm at your house, and you put, I like dark meat, and you put a nice chicken leg on my plate. Don't be asking for it back. The kid don't give up blessings. I just may been made rich, and ain't going to be no sorrow me losing this because it's going in the ministry. Of course, if you really want to get me excited and selfish, 16 ounces of ribeye, medium well. And just before you take it out of the oven, you squeeze a lime on top of it and spread it with butter. Oh! I had a vision of his glory there for a second. Verse 8, the wisdom that God gave was one which none of the rulers of this age. A lot of people think the devil is omnipresent, omnipotent, all of that. He don't even know what's going on. He only knows what he's doing, and he doesn't understand what God's doing because it's of light and he's of darkness. The devil can't read your mind. He can record your actions and replay them for you. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age, principalities, powers, mights, dominions, wicked spirits in heavenly places, has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. There was a plan in play. To quote the great prophet George Peppard, I love it when a plan comes together. And God had a plan cooking. And the devil didn't understand. And he got scorched by the pot. Because he didn't know it was hot. If he'd have known it was hot, he wouldn't have touched it. But he done opened the lid and let the Lord out. And now it's God all over the place. Our Lord and Redeemer was nailed to a cross. But there was more nailed to the cross than just his flesh. And it was all for our benefit to add richly to us that cannot be taken from us. He was beaten for our wrongdoing. He bore our grief. He bore our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was beaten to purchase our peace or well-being. He was beaten with stripes for our health. Our iniquity fell upon him. Pastor, what's the difference between iniquity and sin? Sin is something you just do. Iniquity is something you have done and won't turn loose of. What's transgression? That's when you step over the line. There's different things. Sin is something you commit. I just want to do it. Transgression, that's when, the devil made me do it. Something came over me. I was one toke over the line, didn't even know I'd lit up. But iniquity is something, they did it. I ain't forgiving them. I'm not letting it go. And iniquity grows in you because it festers like a wound. But our iniquity fell upon him. You can be free from it no matter how bad they hurt you. He remained silent that we might freely decree our liberty and victory in him. Oppression and judgment he carried away. Our separation from God was nailed to the cross. Our justification to be in right standing, justification, just as if I'd never sinned. That was nailed to the cross so that I could be sin-free. You're looking at a sin-free zone. Amen. Not by my track record, but by the blood of my Redeemer.
Amen.
The spoils of our captors was part of the purchase price. The spoils of our captor, everything the devil had stolen in the earth, the purchase price of it was nailed to the cross that we could regain the earth and the fullness thereof for our Lord. Our Lord is on the cross. And for the joy set before him of seeing the Father's will done and seeing you with these things that he went to the cross for, a family reunited. a father overjoyed at receiving his children back to him. I ask you today, what joy lies before you? Those of you who identified with one of the signs, I want you to come and grab the sign that pertains to you. As you do, Brother Richard, Brother John are going to come and stabilize my inferior construction. And if more than one person comes, then the two of you hold the sign up there. One of you nail it, or one of you hold it while the other one nails it, because we can have more than one person on a sign. But I want you to begin nailing these things to the cross. Why? You're saying that from this day forward, I am going to be free. Just hand the hammer to Brother John when y'all are finished, and he'll have it for you. Matthew 8:17. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were, past tense, 2,000 years ago, healed. For I tell you that this which is written must be fulfilled in me. And he was numbered with transgressors, for that which refers to me has its fulfillment. What is that saying? Every promise will be fulfilled. Everything prophesied will be done. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. He took poverty on him so it could be taken off of you.
Amen. Amen.
By faith in his lordship, we become partakers with and inheritors of all his resurrection provided. He defeated hell that we might live free from it. Our Father nailed it to the cross. From this day forward, I never want you to look at the resurrection and see just our Lord and Redeemer hanging there, nailed to the cross. Because when he was nailed to the cross, sin was nailed to the cross. When he was nailed to the cross, disease, sickness, guilt, oppression, separation, poverty, grief, sorrow, judgment, lost relationship, the lack of peace was nailed to the cross. And just like we say in our current vernacular, as I shared with you in the example that's on the internet right now, the young girl doing the flips out to the line, and as she comes out of a flip, she grabs the basketball, drops it in the net from center court. And people go, she nailed it. I want you from this day forward, when the devil comes and tries to put sickness on you, no, he nailed it. When the devil comes by and tries to put fear on you, he nailed it. Sickness, he nailed it. Disease, he nailed it. God nailed it. It's been done. What does it mean when you say, he nailed it, she nailed it? What are you saying? They perfectly executed it. Flawless performance. They nailed it. But all real truth comes from the Word of God, Sister Gail. And so what they're saying is, we understand from the Word of God that God nailed it. He nailed poverty for me. He nailed sickness and disease for me. He nailed it. And Bob, because it's nailed, it's over. The performance is done. From this day forward, don't pray for God to do what he's already nailed. Applaud. Applaud a perfect performance so that you can be free from it. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? No, don't pursue a lifestyle of sin just so you can prove that God's grace is greater than all the sin you can do. May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? He didn't say you don't visit it occasionally. He said you don't take up residence to live there. The devil beats a lot of people over the head because you make a mistake now and then. You don't pursue it as a lifestyle. When you make a mistake, applaud the fact that he nailed your sin to the cross and it was covered before you fell into it. Or do you not know? Do you not comprehend? Has it not dawned on you that all of us who are believers have been baptized or immersed into Christ and his victory that was accomplished when God nailed him and all of our troubles to the cross? You have been baptized into Christ Jesus, have been baptized, immersed through identification into his death. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism unto death, so that as Christ was raised up from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. My water baptism says, I identify with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And just like he went to the cross, I went to the cross in him. Amen. Just like he took my sickness to the cross, my sickness went to the cross with him. I don't own it no more. God nailed it. It's paid for. So we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. If I died with him and I'm identifying with his death, I can also identify with his resurrection and being seated at the right hand of God in full authority and immunity from all that was covered at the cross.
Amen.
Say this with me.
I have been given
immunity
from everything
that was nailed to the cross. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. I don't have to sin. The devil can't make me do it. But if I do, it's been nailed. For he who has died is freed from sin, has become a new creation. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Yes, Pastor Jam, someday when I get to heaven, I'm going to live with him. Hun, you better start living now. Right now, in the nasty now and now, start living with him and telling these things. They're nailed to the cross. They can't keep me down. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. If he is not to die again, then I am not to die again. Death no longer is master over him. Therefore, death is not master over me. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. We are empowered to live on the God level because he nailed everything that would keep us from it to the cross. He nailed it so I can hail it. I win. In this new life, we are seated with him in glory at the throne of God. Ephesians. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, even when we were under the penalty of any of these things, made us alive, gave us the God life, eternal life, together with Christ. By his grace gift, you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly place in Christ Jesus. From this day forward, you only look down on this mess. From your position of being seated with the anointed Redeemer in the heavenly places right now, you are positionally seated in him. These things are under your feet. For by grace you have been saved, brought to health, safety, soundness, wholeness, and deliverance. Health, safety, soundness, wholeness, and deliverance. You have been brought to from everything. that God nailed to the cross. And that not of yourselves. You didn't manufacture it. You didn't make it. You didn't earn it. You had nothing to do with it except receive it. It is the gift of God, not as a result of work, so that no one can say, I got this because I was so cool. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. What are good works? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out the devil. Freely you have received, freely give. Which God prepared beforehand. It was hidden in God before you ever needed it or before man ever made it necessary. Yeshua paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin has lost its crimson stain. Jesus washed me white as snow. He prepared our new life before our old life was put in jeopardy. He bought life before death came on the scene. He paid for healing before sickness made it necessary. He redeemed us before we fell. Before you ask, He answers. He had already prepared a way before you knew you needed a way. Had the devil knew that he was opening the door to your victory, he would have never opened that door. He knows what you have need of before you ask, and so He prepared a way of escape before you ever fell in the pit. Say that with me. My Lord
made my way out
before I ever fell in. Whether you fell into sin, sickness, disease, grief, sorrow, before you ever fell into it, He had already fashioned a ladder, a way for you to climb up out of it. See the cross as your ladder out of the pit. Our Father is a phrase I can say because He nailed my separation to the cross. I can boldly say, Our Father. He nailed it so you can be free. Now, for each person who came and nailed to the cross, one of the things that our Father first nailed to the cross, I set myself in agreement with you that once and for all, that's broken from your life. Once and for all, it's gone because God nailed it, and now you have joined Him in nailing it to the cross. You're free from it. It will never raise its ugly head to separate you from God again. Sister Gail gave you a word earlier. Do you understand that the more you know of God, the more you can enjoy God?
Yes.
I'm hanging out with Napoleon, and he gets to talking about the drag strip in San Antonio. Pretty soon we put together a group of guys and we run down to San Antonio and we enjoy the drags together. Why? Because when I know my brother enjoys that and I know I enjoy that, we have a reason to fellowship. I don't know why I hadn't scheduled another trip down to the drag races, but God forgive him, help him repent, make him get it right. Get this, Rob, when you really realize that God has delivered you from whatever was nailed to the cross, you have a new reason to fellowship with God around the victory He provided for y'all to share. Asia, God wants to share with you His health, His wealth, His joy, His peace. Ethel, God wants to fellowship with you around everything that was nailed to the cross. Nancy, when we get a hold of this truth and we can begin to see not our Lord on the cross, He ain't there anymore. But get this, when they took Him down, all of this stayed nailed to the cross. And went off into eternity, conquered, defeated. From this day forward, I want you to carry this visual with you. It was nailed to the cross. Whatever it is the devil's been dogging your trail with, it was nailed to the cross. Scott, whatever the devil brings up in your life, if it was nailed to the cross, close your eyes and get this visual today. I remember seeing it nailed to the cross. And if it was nailed to the cross, it died with the cross. Now, if one of you desires to take this cross home with you today, it's yours for the taking. Just don't make it yard art. Hang it in the den or something. But everyone in this building, everyone watching by live streaming, everyone who'll watch by tape subscription, I want you to again and again and again close your eyes and remember and see this, so that the Lord can remind you, my sin, my sickness, my disease, my poverty were all nailed to the cross. Therefore, they're not mine anymore. It was nailed. Because it was nailed, I hail his victory and I celebrate his triumph. Resurrection Sunday says, he nailed it, I'm free. Resurrection says, he was raised in victory, I'm raised in victory. Resurrection Sunday says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow knowing I've already won over all my tomorrows. A scientist came out with a new study on genes. And those of you who study it know that a gene is just compressed DNA. And they have found science. Y'all remember that thing? The thing people tell you is contrary to the Word of God and truth. Science has found that a gene is a predisposed disposition towards. But the more time you spend in a thing, the more it affects the health of those genes. Now, if you're born again, you're a new creation, you have a predisposed disposition to victory. You have a predisposed disposition to living free from debt, sickness, disease, fear, doubt, unbelief. But science has proved that if you will begin to spend time meditating and dwelling upon an arena, it will actually be amplified in your physical makeup. When you spend time meditating on grief, it's amplified in you. When you spend time meditating on joy, they could have just got a Bible. Joshua chapter 1:8, meditate on these things and it'll ensure your success and your triumph. It's not meditating on the things of God that gets you down. It's meditating on the things of God that gets you up. Father, I've lifted your word before your people, and you were lifted up in your word. This day we celebrate together the resurrection, the triumphant resurrection of our Lord and Redeemer, Yeshua. But along with his resurrection, we celebrate our resurrection life. We were raised with him. We are seated with him. And everything you nailed to the cross with him has been broken from our lives. This day we decree we are free. We're redeemed. We're cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. No work of darkness shall hold us in captivity. We, the redeemed of the Lord, say so and rejoice in the salvation of our glorious Lord and King. Father, this day I loose blessings upon all the people under the sound of my voice. I decree that sin is broken from their mind and spirit and body. Lack, poverty, sickness, disease, fear, doubt, worry, torment are broken from them. They are loose, they are free, because this day I judge them free. Announce and proclaim and decree their freedom and celebrate before you. They are the redeemed of the Lord, and he whom the Lord has set free is free to walk out that freedom. Yes. I loose blessings upon you, and I say, Jehovah, Lord of hosts, rises over you with blessings and grace and mercy. The Yeshua HaMashiach of God stands strong within you, triumphant over all that was defeated at the cross. The Holy Spirit works with you to bring to your remembrance words of truth and triumph that liberate you from the snares of the wicked one. You will come short in no good thing, but in everything you will triumph, and everything you set your hand to prospers. And from this day forward, you walk in newness of life, and you are free from all the debilitating effects of sin and evil. And the people said,
amen.
You are the redeemed of the Lord. If you desire prayer in any area, there'll be ministers available to pray with you. If you're visiting, be sure and step into the front foyer, the north foyer, and fellowship with some of the ministers for a moment. Go with God, you're blessed.